And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X-minus one.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on a Saturday evening, January 14th, 2017, program 145 in the series of the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious, very bubbly and effervescent and blonde and dimpled Lisa Wolf. No E at the end of Wolf. I want to make that perfectly clear.
There's no E at the end of Lisa either.
No.
In case you weren't sure.
No, not at all. And even though she is related to Nero Wolf, who has an E at the end, she dropped it, I think, at Ellis Island, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
At Ellis Island.
And speaking of Ellis,
we have an Ellis
in the booth as our producer. Hi, Ellis.
That was a seamless transition.
Wow, wasn't that
seamless.
Great?
Seamless.
Oh,
hi.
Gosh, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. You should see little Ellis. She's so cute.
Little Ellis.
You should see. If they were watching, I work with two beautiful gals here. I'm a very lucky guy, Lisa and Ellis. And when Mike's here, he rounds it all off. Because, you know, Mike's our executive producer, but he's A-list. He doesn't come here on Saturday, just Sunday.
He's A-list.
He's A-list.
Not A-list.
I know,
A-list.
He says it wrong. He
what
says
did I say?
A-list.
He's A-list. Yeah, he's A-list, all right.
You mean he's A-list, not A-list.
He's A-list.
He's A-OK. How's that?
So tonight, we're going to do something different. We're going to play classic radio shows. What do you think of that?
I think that would be a good
change. Yeah. And they're on our Facebook page. They're on our website. You can see what the shows are. But if you haven't looked yet, I'm going to tell you what they are. Suspense, starring Paul Lucas in A World of Darkness. A good episode of Suspense. Then it's the Martin and Lewis Show. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis with their special guest, Jack Webb. And then it's the Green Hornet from 1943. All of this brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress reprises her role as the voice of Roughnut in the upcoming animated film How to Train Your Dragon 3, the third and final installment in the movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner gets a great prize because we're a great radio station.
Double prize.
We are going to give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. In addition, nothing goes better with a pizza than to go see a show. And this is a pair of tickets to see My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra playing at Theater at the Center.
Should I sing it? You want me to sing it?
No.
All right. So double prize. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. It's one of my favorite actresses.
I know she is.
She's cute as a button.
That's your lingo for the night.
And she's also very funny. She was the lead in Bridesmaids.
I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party with the best of them.
Okay. That's how you get, you know? She walks in here like that. Like, I'm ready to party.
Without the alcohol. Just with pretzels.
Give me both microphones.
The pretzels do that to me every
time. I know. All right, so call us if you know who that is, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back. This is Moby, and it's the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
I'm excited, and I feel relaxed, and I'm ready to party with the best of them.
I feel like that's me talking. I'm ready and I'm excited because we have Mary on the line from Antioch. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're great. How are you?
Doing great. I love your show, by the way.
Thanks,
good.
Mary.
Well, we're so glad you called in. And tell me who that great actress is.
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig is
right.
Mary or Kristen? You're very
both.
Confusing.
Both.
Well, there you go, Mary. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Oh, it's great.
She's like, wait, I just called in to win some stuff.
You look at a picture and then you let us know. Mary, you have won a great prize. You get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, which is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my very favorite pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and order online at loumalnati's.com. That is $25. And also a pair of tickets to My Way. It's a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra. It's playing at Theater at the Center, which is in Munster, Indiana, and it's playing February 9th through March 19th, and of course it's, you know, hits of old Blue Eyes, so I hope that you enjoy that. It should be a great show. Yeah, and you can get more information about the show at Theater at the Center.
I auditioned. I came in second.
TheaterAtTheCenter.com, and your eyes aren't blue, so I'm sorry.
I can wear the blue contacts.
Could you?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll think
about
it.
I'm about the same height as Frank Sinatra was.
5'4"?
Yeah. Yeah, you're funny, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
You're so funny, I forgot to laugh.
Thanks, Carl.
Mary, she's so mean to me.
So not.
No, she's not. She's
thank
so,
you.
So mean to
see,
me.
See, she
you
knows.
Should see how I cry when I leave
could
her.
I just mention one thing really fast?
Yes.
We had a guy that messaged us uh-huh. this week, and uh-huh. he said that he was really concerned uh-huh. about our relationship on the air.
I'm concerned about it, too.
He thought that you were a little rough on
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that I literally, maybe my smile isn't genuine. So uh-huh. I explain to him
yes.
that it truly is genuine and that we really are best friends
right.
and that it's all radio shtick.
It's all just a lot of
so
fun.
So hopefully, you know, with this newfound attitude, we can kind of understand you know, our relationship.
I'm really glad you
better.
Straightened that all out, but you are still very mean to me.
No, can I just add one thing
yes.
to your argument?
There's no argument.
I mean,
just a discussion.
Mary, could
argument.
You please be the mediator of this? Poor Mary was brought into this whole thing.
It's true.
She just
you
called to win.
So
she got a date offer.
See, she knew
and
that
then
we
she...
love each other. She okay. knows that.
She just called to
well,
win a prize. Poor Mary.
Yeah.
Poor
but
Mary.
But you know what, Mary? I come in here, and one of my favorite things to do is make you laugh.
Yeah.
Make who laugh?
You, Lisa.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's going to take a little more work now, isn't it?
Oh.
You make all of us laugh.
Ah, that's good. And Mary, I'm so glad you called in and won. Congrats. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the pizza.
Take care, Mary.
And we'll talk to you
thank
soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, hon.
Thanks.
Take care. All right, Lisa and Elif and Mary and the rest of our listeners across the country, because this station booms out there across the planet. 40 states plus parts of Canada were heard every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. Don't miss the WGN Radio Theater. And it's time now for Suspense. This was one of the best radio shows of all time. We air this a lot here on WGN because it's really, really the best drama, in my opinion, of mystery and had great stars on it. Came to radio in 1942, lasted till 1962, nearly 1,000 radio broadcasts. We have one for you now from January 20th, 1944. It's called A World of Darkness. You're going to like this show. It stars Paul Lucas. Here's part one of Suspense.
Roma Wines present Suspense. Roma Wines, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud! Your health, senor.
Roma Wines toast the world. The wine for your table is Roma Wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of Suspense. Tonight in Hollywood, Roma Wines bring you the distinguished actor who has just won the New York Film Critics Award for his performance in Watch on the Rhine, Mr. Paul Lucas. The suspense play which stars Mr. Lucas and which is produced and directed by William Spear is called A World of Darkness. And so with the performance of Paul Lucas as the musician named Anton Rizhak, to whom the world was a world of darkness, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
patrol cars in J area. J for Johnson. All patrol cars in J area go to 325 West 52nd. 325 West 52, a theatrical rooming house. Homicide. This is homicide. A young woman stabbed. That is all.
Okay. Is everybody here now?
Yes, I think I've got all of them.
There's Mrs. Collins, Mr. Farrell, Miss Walker, Mr. Gunther.
Yes, they're all here, Lieutenant.
You're the landlady, Mrs. Washburn, right?
Well, if you want to be blunt about it.
I'm afraid I'm a blunt man. Maybe it's the business I'm in. Last night, a girl was killed in this house. According to the coroner, it happened about 2 a.m. She was killed in a particularly cold-blooded manner. Stabbed. And that's murder. There's no two ways about it. Now, you're intelligent people. You're all connected with the theater.
No, not all.
Franz is my sort of caretaker, handyman.
Yes, handyman. But not to do with that theater, that place of sin and abomination.
Don't mind him. Franz has always been a little prejudiced.
I know when the sword of righteousness is ready to strike.
Where were you at 2:00 a.m?
I was in my room waiting.
What were you waiting for? Now, look, don't you people realize what you're up against? Till you can account for your actions last night, you're all under suspicion of murder.
What makes you so sure one of us did it?
Oh, you were Miss Nancy Collins' fiancé, is that right, Mr. Farrell?
Yes.
What were you doing last night?
I was out, walking.
Anybody see you?
I don't know. I don't think so. How do I know?
What were you doing out walking around at 2:00 a.m?
Well, after what happened, I...
Oh? What happened?
Oh, nothing. I was upset, that's all.
Why don't you tell him the truth, Daniel?
The truth? What's the use of all this talking? It's not going to bring her back.
What did you mean by that, Mrs. Collins? What truth?
It's not my place to say. Daniel considers it a personal matter. It couldn't have had anything to do with what... Oh, I'm sure no one is concealing anything of the slightest importance. Everyone loved Nancy. Everyone.
Please. I know what you're getting around to.
Why, Kay.
That everyone loved her but me. That I hated her.
But I didn't. Well, not enough to do a thing like that.
Where were you at 2 this morning, Miss Walker?
In my room.
Can you prove that?
No, of course I can't. That's the whole thing. Don't you see?
No, listen. Who's playing that piano?
That's Mr. Rejack in the room across the hall. He's a musician.
Does he live here?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you tell me? I thought you said everybody was here.
No use talking to him. He doesn't even know about it.
Will you please let me handle it?
Really, Lieutenant, he couldn't tell you anything. You see,
you get him in here, Hackety. Go get him.
Okay.
Now, listen, you people have got an awful lot of explaining to do. None of you can prove where you were or what you were doing or why you were doing it. What about you, Mrs. Collins?
You don't think... After all, I am poor Nancy's mother.
Mrs. Collins, I'm just trying to get at the facts. You have the room next to Nancy's. Didn't you even hear anything?
No. I've had insomnia for years. I have to take a strong sedative every night.
Here comes Mr. Rejack.
Oh, Mr. Rejack, I'm sorry to disturb you, sir. I didn't realize that
I was blind. Oh, it is no matter. I was waiting for you to send for me, officer.
You knew the police were here?
But of course. Oh, Mrs. Washburn, has anyone seen anything of Carl yet this morning?
No, not yet.
Who is Carl, Mr. AJ?
My Belgian police dog, who guides me. He has wandered off somewhere. Although I cannot say I blame him. It is not much fun being a companion only to a blind man.
Oh, he'll come back. That kind always does.
Oh, I'm not worried. But now you wish to speak of the terrible thing that has happened to poor Nancy.
Oh, you know about that?
Unfortunately, yes. By the way, here is the key to her room. It was locked and you were obliged to force it, were you not?
Why, yes, but how did you...
How do I have the key? And how do I know? You see, I'm a blind man, but there are many ways for a blind man to know many, many things.
Yes, I see.
Poor Nancy. Poor child.
How much do you know about that?
Quite a bit, I'm afraid. I know how she was killed. I know why she was killed. And I know who killed her.
Tonight in our suspense theater, murder was unseen in the dark. But the crime was witnessed by a single human being with the eyes of night. Roma Wines is bringing you Paul Lucas as star of suspense in the Robert L. Richards story, A World of Darkness.
You think it is a great affliction to be blind? Yes, in a way it is. If he yields to it, it can make a man bitter and distort his mind. But if he struggles against it, there are merciful compensations. In time, he reaches out into the world again and finds he can perceive the meaning of the life around him without his eyes. A world of darkness becomes to him a place of utmost sensitivity to other things, to touch, to smell, but above all, to sound. The ticking of a watch, the rustle of clothing, the sound of breathing, or even the beat of a heart. I have only to focus my attention on a sound so distant or so slight as to be utterly imperceptible to anyone else. And to me, it is magnified and amplified 100 times. Last night, though sitting in my room and confined in my eternal darkness, I heard what I could not see. And I was witness to a murder. The bells of Trinity had just run the 3/4 hour. They are at the lower extremity of the city, but I always like to listen for them. It was 1/4 to midnight. I was about to go back to my piano. I had been working on a little composition of my own, when I heard Nancy coming down the street from the direction of the theater. She was walking very fast. It was clear to me that she was disturbed about something, so I knew she would want to see me. I waited for her knock.
Anton?
Yes, Nancy, come in. Oh, you are troubled. What is it?
How did you know?
You know I can always tell these things. See, even Carl knows.
Oh, hello, Carl. He's so nice. You're both so nice.
Carl and I. Huh? You know he loves you, Nancy.
I think he really does.
Almost as much as he loves me.
I know. Oh, I'm going to miss you both terribly.
You are going away?
Anton, I'm going to marry Danny Farrell.
To marry?
Yes, he's quitting the stage and he's going into the army. I'm going with him. That's what I want to tell you about.
I see.
Anton, you've always been so good to me. You've helped me so much and I've always felt that you liked me.
More than that, Nancy. I'm very, very fond of you.
Oh, Anton, you're the best friend I've ever had.
But I'm nearly twice your age and blind.
Oh, that doesn't matter. We've had some wonderful times together.
Yes. And now you wish to talk to me because you are still not sure you have made the right decision, hmm?
Yes.
Now, to leave the stage now, just when you are having the first time such a wonderful success.
Oh, it isn't that. I've always hated the stage.
Hated it? Now, Nancy, now, you have a very great talent.
You can't have a talent for anything you don't like. And you can't like anything you've had crammed down your throat ever since you were barely able to talk.
Oh, it's your mother.
She's counted on it all these years. She's sacrificed everything for my career. Oh, Mother loves me in her way, but sometimes she's so strange. When I told her about Danny tonight, I thought she was going to have a stroke or something. I've seen her angry before, but never like this.
Oh, it will pass.
Anton, for a minute she looked insane. I was frightened, really frightened.
Listen.
All right, that is the first portion of Suspense from 1944, A World of Darkness, starring Paul Lucas. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Soli Soulf.
Yes, Carl.
What'd you do today? What was your day like today?
You know, I took my daughter shopping to get a dress for formal.
You went shopping? What was it like for your first time?
Well, I didn't go shopping for me. I went for my daughter. She's 16, and she's got formal coming up at the high school. So she got a spanking brand new dress and shoes.
Wow,
to,
what
shoes
a
to boot.
Good mommy you are, no matter what anybody
else
says.
Yeah, I know.
Don't
listen to them.
And Aleph, what did you do today?
I worked overnight last night, so I slept most of the day.
You worked overnight?
Yeah, 2 to 5
really?
A.m.
She works at nights.
I'm nocturnal.
She's really? A lady of the night.
What night?
Whoa.
You know,
dump box.
I was not going to say that because I don't want to get hate mail, so I let Lisa do that. So what did you do? You did someone's show. Were you on the air or producing or?
I was producing for Mark Carman.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Carm.
The
if
Carm.
You will.
Yeah.
But Lisa.
He does a great show.
He does do a
yeah,
great show. It was a lot of
he's
fun.
He's really good. I like Mark. What now?
I'm
what
sorry, now? But I just had to ask what kind of dress and shoes did you get?
Oh, they're really nice. The dress is royal blue and it's BCBG.
Oh, I like BCBG.
Who?
It's really nice.
What about the jeans?
And we got some nice black suede, really cool sandals.
What about the bean? It's like
are you saying you don't know about designer names?
Not a BC. What is it?
BCBG.
BCBG.
Max Azria.
No,
that's
I,
the one.
Yeah.
I used
that's
to listen
good.
To the Bee Gees.
That's what I was talking about, the yeah. Bee Gees. We bought a Bee Gees
And
dress.
Speaking of the Bee Gees.
Yes.
I think in not next Thursday, but the Thursday after is the
Thursday.
Opening of Saturday Night Fever.
At the Drury Lane.
Drury Lane.
And I will be there.
Lisa and
Dan,
I will both
and
be there.
Carl will
it's
be there.
It's going to be, yeah.
And we're going to have some fun together and take some pictures. And
that'll
we will report back over the
That's
weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I'm starring as in the John Travolta
well,
role.
Well, John Travolta,
Tony Manero.
John Travolta is going to be there. He's going to be the one starring in it. Yeah,
he looks just the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, did you watch the Emmys? John Travolta looked very good. I thought he looked really good at the Emmys.
The Golden Globes.
Was it Golden Globes?
You
or
mean
Emmys?
The what was just on?
Was it
Golden
the Emmys?
Globes.
The
oh,
Golden Globes,
Globes
was
okay.
just on.
Yeah, he looked good.
And, yeah, he did look good.
You know, I mean, some of those movies that he did back then, like Blowout. Remember that movie, Blowout? That was great. And then Saturday
Greece?
Night Fever. Of course, Grease might be my favorite movie with him.
Is,
well, Saturday Night Fever
kind
is
of iconic.
Saturday Night Fever is my favorite movie with him.
Yeah.
But then, of course, you know, you got Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, sure. Well, that was, I mean, that was, I think that's what brought him.
Yeah, that
to
was
fame.
The first thing he did on, mm-hmm. on television, really, yeah. and then they discovered him from that and cast him in Grease
yep.
and Saturday Night Fever. Although I would have to say, besides Saturday Night Fever in Grease, my third favorite movie with John Travolta.
I know what you're going to say. The one that we saw together?
Yes.
With a crazy name. What was that?
Pulp.
Pulp Fiction.
He's great in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody's great in Pulp Fiction.
That was a rough movie.
Yeah. It definitely was. All right. Well, this is the WGN Radio Theater. I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a very, very, and I mean very with two verys, very special website that we have for our listeners. And if you go to this website, folks, and you just put your name and your email address, you will receive 52 emails from me all at once. No,
all at
once,
day.
Once a week, every Monday, you'll get an email from me. And in that email will be an embedded classic radio show, digitally remastered. It's yours to keep. And I'm trying to think. I think this Monday we're sending out The Whistler, an episode of The Whistler. Last week, I believe it was Dimension X. And I think the week before that, I'm pretty sure it was Dimension X. And the week before, I think it was like the Life with Luigi or The Great Gildersleeve. We send a different classic radio show out every single week. So we're going to send you 52 emails with 52 classic radio shows. And that's every year. So if you sign up and you don't unsubscribe, you're going to get this every week for infinity, right?
And the website is freeradioclassics.com.
Yep, easy. freeradioclassics.com. But not only do you get this awesome classic radio show every Monday, but you get a picture of whoever the star is on that show. So when it was Life with Luigi, we sent you a picture of J. Carroll Nash. When it was Gildersleeve, I believe we had Willard Waterman. And you also get some specials and all kinds of fun stuff, a synopsis of the show, who the cast was. So this is a way of saying thank you out there in Radioland for being a listener to the WGN Radio Theater. So just go to Free Radio Classics, and there's an S on the end of that, freeradioclassics.com. Put your name and your email address, and if you're not already subscribed, then this Monday you'll get your first email sent to you, and it will be an episode of The Whistler. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Right now it's time for the conclusion to A World of Darkness, starring Paul Lucas on Suspense.
What? Anton, what is it?
Your mother is leaving her room. She will be coming down here to look for you.
How do you know?
The rustle of her satin robe. I hear it often. Perhaps we better not speak any more just now of your little trouble.
Oh, I shouldn't have bothered you. I know it must seem childish and silly to you.
No, Nancy, it is not for me. But perhaps your mother will not like it that you confide in others.
But how could you know that
Nancy?
She...
You see?
She is coming.
Nancy?
Yes, Mother?
Oh, there you are. I thought you might be here.
Good evening, Edna.
Nancy, you really must come upstairs now. I'm going to have your new dress ready for the equity party. I've got to cut it from the pattern tonight, and I want you to help me.
Mother, I'm not going to the party.
Why, Nancy, of course you are. It's very important.
Mother, do we have to go through it all again?
Nancy, dear, I'm sorry I lost my temper this evening. I know this seems like the only thing in the world that matters just now, love and all. But you simply can't walk out of the lead in a hit play and ever expect to be successful.
I don't want to be successful. Can't you get that through your head?
After I've slaved and skimped and planned all these years.
You'll be all right, Mother. There'll be enough.
I'll be all right. I'm not thinking of myself. I've never had a chance to think of myself. Only last week I drew every penny of my own savings and took out an insurance policy on you. $100,000. So that you'd have something for your old age.
You shouldn't have done that, Mother.
And now you want to throw away everything I've done for that harebrained boy.
But, Edna, if Nancy is in love...
You keep out of this.
Mother, please.
Oh, I've watched you too, Anton Rejack. But I knew she wouldn't have anything to do with a blind man.
Mother!
You couldn't see her. But you could touch her, couldn't you? You could be in love with her. Well, I hope you see now what a fool you've made of yourself. You fool. You blind fool. Fool.
Down, Carl. Quiet.
He struck me.
I'm sorry.
You deserved it, Mother.
I think you'd better go now, Edna.
Nancy, I want you to come upstairs right away. We're going to cut out your new dress tonight.
Oh, Anton, forgive me.
No, it is nothing. I'm sorry I did what I did, but I was afraid she would become hysterical.
Anton, I didn't know. Believe me, I didn't know.
No, it is nothing. You had better go up to her now.
Yes. Oh, I'm afraid.
Oh, but there is nothing to be afraid of.
Yes. But I'm afraid.
I could not sleep. Although it was late, I tried to go back to my work, but my attention wandered. I could not keep from mind from what was going on in that room upstairs. I heard each sound as clearly as though the cause of it were there at my very side. Nancy was weeping. And against the sound of her tears, like an inexorable counterpoint, the scissors, deliberate mechanical snipping and crunching of heavy dressmaker's shears, cutting material on a table. Then there was an interruption. Footsteps running up the stairs. The footsteps of Danny Farrell. I knew what would happen then.
Mrs. Collins, you've got to listen.
So I did not want to listen.
Out of here. Nancy,
but for a moment I did.
Danny, I don't know what to do. Well, it's about time you found out, isn't it?
I shut my mind to it. I didn't want to hear anymore. There was to be another quarrel, another agonizing scene. And then presently I heard the steps again. Slow and heavy this time, coming down the stairs. They went towards the front door instead of to his own room. He was going out. I did not know what he might do. I went to my own door, and as casually as I could, I opened it.
Oh, hello, Aunt Anne.
Why, hello, Danny. Were you going out?
For a little walk.
It's late.
I guess it is.
I'm sorry, Danny.
You know about it, do you?
Yes, Nancy told me tonight. There was a scene with her mother again. But it will come out all right.
Oh, no, it won't.
Why?
Nancy's changed her mind. Or rather, her mother's changed it for her.
The poor child.
Anton, Nancy's a lovely girl. She's the loveliest girl in the world. But she's weak.
Oh, but we are all weak in one way or another.
But she doesn't know what she does to people. She doesn't know the torture she puts people through.
No.
And I can't stand it any longer. If I can't have Nancy, I'll do something.
Danny, now, it will be all right.
It can't be all right. How do I know it won't go on like this after we're married? Oh, I'm crazy, I suppose, but
I know how these things are. Two young people in love cannot be kept apart by anyone or anything in this earth.
No, Anton. I thought it over and over every way there is. It won't work.
Oh, come in.
Anton, I didn't know you were here, Danny.
Okay.
I just heard the news over at the theater. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I suppose I had to say that. You know I don't mean it, Danny.
Please, Kay, I
don't think you love her, Danny. I don't see how you could.
Kay, I don't want to talk about it tonight.
Are you afraid to talk to me, Danny? Are you?
I'm sorry, Kay. Good night, Anton.
Danny. Danny, listen to me. Danny!
Oh, let him go. He's upset tonight.
He's upset.
Kay, stop it. Get hold of yourself.
I love him. I love him. I can't let him go.
Oh, but you must, don't you see? He's going to be married.
Before she came along, he couldn't even think of anyone but me. She planned it very nicely. Just the way she's planned everything else. She doesn't care how many lives she wrecks, including his. But it won't be so easy this time.
Kay, you are talking foolishness.
Listen, Anton. Before I'd let her get away with this, I'd kill her. So help me, I'd kill her.
She left me at last. I paid no heed to where she went. I was disturbed and troubled. I sat in the darkness of my mind thinking. Then I heard steps again. Those odd, dragging steps coming towards my door. Franz?
Yes, Mr. Reject.
Did you want to see me, Franz?
No. No, I was only listening.
Listening? To what?
Don't you hear it? The beating of the wings? They've been close about the house all evening.
Oh, have they?
The time is very near. Are you a good man, Mr. Reject?
Now, I don't know, Franz. I try to be.
The black angel with the bright sword of righteousness and vengeance. Do you think we can escape him?
Well, I hope so.
No. Don't you know what goes on in this house? Haven't you seen them? With their painted lips, their tinkling rings and bracelets, and their vanity and their scoffing?
Yes, Franz. What have you in your bag there?
Oh, yes, my tools. Always I work. Work day and night. There's a dripping faucet up in Miss Cullen's room. I have to fix it.
Dripping faucet? Oh, yes.
What's the matter, Mr. Reject? Did you think of something?
Oh, yes. I was thinking that I must take Carl out for a walk. Oh, no. Carl, down.
Hello
down.
There, Carl. He's a fine dog, eh?
Franz.
Yes.
Go along. Do what I told you. It's late.
Yes. I do what I'm told. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans. For this city will I humble to the dust, and this house will I make a place of weeping and desolation.
The moment the old man called my attention to the faucet, I had heard it. When I went back into my room, I still heard it. I heard the old man tinkering with the pipes. Then the dripping grew less and stopped. Then the shears began again. Those long, sharp scissors cutting the dress. I forced myself to return to my work, and for a while I heard nothing more. And then I heard it. The dripping had begun again. But this time it was no longer water that was dripping. It was then that I knew. I sat frozen with horror. It was the most terrible sound I had ever heard in my life. At last I got up and took my cane and went to the door. Carl wished to go with me, but I closed the door on him. It was later, somehow in my confusion, that he slipped away. I started up the stairs. That terrible sound grew louder. It came from Nancy's room. I had just reached the top of the stairs. There was no way for anyone to leave Nancy's room except in my direction. It was then I heard the telltale whisper. The murderer had passed me in the darkness. I went to Nancy's door. There was no need to go in. I knew what was there as surely as though I had seen it happen with the eyes I no longer have. For I could hear the steady dripping of her blood. I closed the door and locked it. I put the key in my pocket. I wished to make certain that the criminal would have no chance to return and cover up any evidence of the crime. Then I returned to my room to wait for you officers of the police to come. And now you would know as I knew why Nancy Collins died and who killed her.
Well, do all you people here confirm what Mr. Rejack says about your movements last night?
Wait, what did you mean about the telltale whisper?
Oh, what is the use of any longer pretending, Edna? You killed her. Now you must pay for it.
No, no!
Now, doubtless you have already found her fingerprints on the scissors with which Nancy has stabbed.
Oh, naturally, they were Mrs. Collins' scissors anyway.
And I have a suspicion that you will find the insurance policy she took out on her daughter's life only last week that makes Edna Collins the beneficiary in the event of Nancy's death.
No, no, I didn't do it.
You better take her along, Haggerty.
All right, come on.
No, please, wait a minute. Maybe I've been selfish, but I loved her. He's lying because he hates me for what I said. No, no, please.
Well, Mr. Rejack, I guess several people owe you their thanks for this.
And you owe me nothing. If it could only bring her back to life.
Come in.
We found Mr. Rejack's dog, ma'am, down in the cellar. Been there all night. Here, Carl.
Carl, my poor old Carl. Here, Carl. Carl, what's the matter now? Where are you?
Grab him, somebody. Grab him. Here, pull it back. Back, you. Here,
Carl.
Kill him.
Carl, what's the matter? Don't you know me?
Mr. Rejack, you say you shut your dog in your room before you went upstairs last night.
Yes. Yes.
You're certain?
But of course.
And you say you did not go into Nancy Collins' room after you discovered the murder?
No. No, I did not.
Well, that's very strange, Mr. Rejack. Because your dog did. His coat is matted with her blood.
I realize now that the dog must have followed me. I heard him whimper when I struck. Then somehow he disappeared. But before I locked the room, the beast must have fawned on her where she fell. Yes, I killed her. It is no matter now. She will marry no one now. Nor will I. Yet it is true I heard those things. Yes, most of them. You would be amazed what I can hear. Now, even from where I sit, I can hear the men at work at the place where they will take me. Although that place is many miles away. They are hammering on the scaffolding in preparation for me. And now they are clambering up on the platform. And now they are about to test that ingenious device that will snuff out my life. Listen. They spring the trap.
And so closes A World of Darkness, presented by Roma Wines and starring Paul Lucas. Tonight's tale of suspense.
This is Paul Lucas again, ladies and gentlemen. Germany murders her cripples. We protect ours, help them back to normal lives. And we fight the major cause of crippling, infantile paralysis. Every night from now till January 31st, sort out all the dimes you have, then enlist them in the March of Dimes. Send your contribution to President Roosevelt at the White House. It's the American way.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. Next Thursday, same time, your stars will be Virginia Bruce and Alan Jocelyn in Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Suspense with A World of Darkness, starring Paul Lucas from January 20th, 1944. You heard Joseph Kearns as the Man in Black. Frank Martin doing the announcing there, as heard on CBS, sponsored by Roma Wines. Hope you enjoyed Suspense. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Thank you, David. Appreciate you. And it is 5 minutes after midnight. It's Sunday, officially, everyone. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday, Lisa.
Thank you, Carl. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, Elif.
Happy Sunday.
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Man, what a duo, right? And it's funny because I've licensed these shows from Mr. Lewis himself. I've met with him several times. I think I told you the story, Lisa. Elif, if you didn't hear the story, you know who Jerry Lewis is, right? You know who
the great
Jerry Lewis, what a tremendous talent he is. He's done so much for, of course, the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation for so many years, raised billions and billions of dollars, a real patriot, and certainly a great humanitarian, terrific talent, great director, actor, producer, and comedy star. The two of them met while they were just kind of doing a nightclub act, and then they formed this act together. And Jerry was the comedian, and Dean was the straight man, and he would sing. Dean Martin was a tremendous singer. Well, when I licensed these radio shows and the TV show, I ended up licensing the TV shows as well from Jerry Lewis, and I met with him the first time. The very first time I met with him, he was doing Damn Yankees at the Waldorf Astoria in New York, and I had just licensed the shows, and I was going to New York on other business, and I was like, hey, I'm going to be in New York. Can I take you to lunch? And he was like, yes, but I'm under a very tight schedule. You know, make sure you're here at whatever time, 11 o'clock or something, like 11:30 or whatever. And I was like, yeah, no problem. Well, I should have really heeded that warning because it's New York, and I was like 15 minutes late
or so
for our meeting. And he wasn't in the lobby, and I would have recognized him because I knew what Jerry Lewis looked like. I don't see him anywhere. And so I went up to the front desk, and I said, I'm Carl Amari here for Jerry Lewis. And there was a woman, and she said,
he's gone.
He's gone. Yeah.
So now, what did you learn a lesson?
I learned a lesson. Good. Don't be late for Jerry
Good.
Lewis.
Good.
Yeah. So I didn't get to see him. I called him, and I apologized, and he was like, oh, great. Well, next time, it's like I'm on a tight schedule. Next time you're here, we'll do. And then, of course, the next time I got there an hour and 45 minutes early, and I just sat around waiting for him, and he was right on time for our next meeting.
Good.
Quick question.
Yes.
Is that why you're always so early for everything?
Jerry Lewis taught me to be early.
So, yeah. Like,
I get here an hour and a half early. Lisa walks in at 15 seconds before airtime.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
I was here before you were.
I know.
I was the first one in the green room. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure you
all
were.
All by my lonesome.
All right. Well, the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis show is coming your way in this hour. Then it's the Green Hornet in our next hour right here on the WGN Radio Theater, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as supervillain Lex Luthor in the upcoming superhero film Justice League.
You know what my, what do they win?
They are going to win a double prize because we are a great radio station. They're going to win a Lumel 90s gift certificate for $25 and a pair of tickets to see My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra.
Very good. All right. Our clip is the first Batman versus Superman movie where he played Lex Luthor. Here's his voice.
The red capes are coming. The red capes are coming.
Who is that actor? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
And this is the WGN Radio Theater, where we all love sweet treats. And we're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
The red capes are coming. The red capes are coming.
That is a creepy clip. We're going to talk to Bill. Hey, Bill.
I had you in mind when I picked that clip.
Creepy? Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Hi, Bill. Great. You recognize that voice?
I think it's Jesse Eisenberg.
It is Jesse Eisenberg. You're right. And we are thrilled to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25. Home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. We hope you get a great pizza on us. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and order online at loumalnati's.com. And we're also thrilled to give you a pair of tickets to My Way. It's a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra, playing at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana, playing February 9th through March 19th. Check it out at theateratthecenter.com. Have you been to that theater before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, check it out. It's a really great theater.
Lisa would know. She goes to every theater.
You know, it sounds far because it's Munster, Indiana, but Munster is right next to Chicago.
Yeah. It's also a cheese.
It's also a cheese. It's a cheese. True. It's a cheese, and it's right next to Chicago.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we hope you enjoy both those prizes, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care. All right.
It's time for the Martin and Lewis Show comedy program starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. And they met in 1945 while they were forming a nightclub act, and their routines were ad-libbed, with Dean singing and Jerry mugging for the laughs. They were mostly slapstick, vaudeville jokes, crazy antics. Their radio show premiered in 1949, and they had top guest stars on the show, as you'll hear on this episode, because they have Jack Webb as a guest star. And then radio led to TV and hit films, and by the 1950s, they were America's hottest act. But Lisa, they broke up in 1956, 10 years to the day of their first teaming. But after the split, both men's careers reached new highs. So they were just as successful on their own. So that means when you get your own show on WGN,
we'll
here,
both be A-okay.
You know, it'll be good. You'll do great, and I'll be like, wah, wah.
No, we'll both be great, and we're going to stick together a little while longer.
So. Yeah, we'll be on. Lisa and I have done a radio show since 2009.
Yes.
Gosh.
Right?
Aren't you sick of me?
We must really like each other. Gosh. Underneath all this crazy silliness.
Man, and I have one thing to say to you, Lisa.
What, Carl?
Brush your teeth.
Get out of here. Get out of town.
Last week?
It was last Sunday.
Yeah. They got me a brush your teeth sign because I tell everybody to brush their teeth.
I hope you hung it, and I'm guessing you haven't hung it
yet.
Okay, well, at least you're honest about it.
I found a place for it, though.
Good.
Yeah, I found a place for it.
All right, you hang that right up.
Okay. It's time for the Martin and Lewis Show. Let's go back to January 13th, 1953. Their special guest is Jack Webb, part one now, the Martin and Lewis Show.
The Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. It is my pleasure to bring you our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
again. Hi, everybody. It's time for me to musically predict that love is just around the corner. So carry on, Swami Stabile.
Love is just around the corner, any cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner when I'm around you. I'm a sentimental mourner, and it couldn't be for loner. When you keep me on a corner, just waiting for you. Venus de Milo was noted for her charm. Strictly between us, you're cuter than Venus, and what's more, you got arms. Oh, let's go cuddle in the corner, any cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner, and I'm around you. Charm. Strictly between us, you're cuter than Venus, and what's more, you got arms. So let's go cuddle in a corner, any cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner, and I'm around you. Love is just around the corner, any little cozy corner, and I'm around you.
I've been asked lots of times whether I could get along without my partner, Jerry Lewis. Well, the answer is no. I just couldn't. Jerry's all I got in the world. Yes, Jerry's my most valuable possession.
Well, poverty is no disgrace.
It's Jerry Lewis! Jerry, you know, you look weary.
Indeedy-dee, I am, Deanie darling.
Well, what have you been doing that makes you so tired?
Breathing.
Now, wait a minute. How can breathing make you tired?
I've been using both nostrils.
Oh. You should build yourself up, Jerry. Take some sunshine vitamin pills.
I do, Dean. Only I think I've taken an overdose of sunshine vitamins.
Well, what makes you think so?
Well, lately my stomach has been rising in the east and setting in the west.
Jerry, why don't you stop? Dick Stabile has been taking sunshine vitamins. Look at him.
Yeah, but his stomach rises in the east and settles down south.
If you want to go on track like that, Mr. Lewis, I'll let you have it. And I'm warning you, I swing from the hip.
What, from way out there?
Don't tangle with Stabile, Jerry. The guy is 200 pounds of solid flab. Now, you just watch yourself.
So who's it scared? I'm tough, too. When I was a kid, the fellas used to call me Yella. Then they called me Butch. Then one day a kid asked me to go out in the alley and fight him.
Yeah?
They called me Yellow again.
You were afraid of this kid?
Well, I had a right to be.
Why?
She was older than me.
She was older than you?
By 3 days.
Well, I hope you didn't just run away.
No, siree, Bob. I just hauled off and...
And what?
Made faces at her.
And she made faces back?
Yeah, but I won.
You did?
Sure. Look at what I had to start with.
You sure had your troubles when you were a kid. Huh, Jer?
Indeedy-dee, I did, Deanie darling. Why, when I was 6 months old, I was crawling in a backyard and I got lost.
For how long?
8 years.
Lost 8 years in your own backyard? How come your mother didn't find you?
She didn't look.
Oh. Very smart woman.
When she finally did find me, she didn't recognize me.
You had grown.
Considerably. I was 50 feet tall.
50 feet tall?
And 1 inch wide.
Now, wait a minute, dear. Let me review the facts. When you were 6 months old, you crawled in the garden and got lost. 8 years later, when your mother found you, you were 50 feet tall and 1 inch wide.
True.
Where did your mother find you?
In the garden hose.
Well, I imagine with your build, you couldn't take much part in sports.
Oh, I could too. As a matter of fact, the football team couldn't play without me.
You were in football? What position?
I was the 50-yard line.
50-yard line. I once had seats on you.
Ah, childhood memories. I was in love with the girl next door, and I'll never forget how embarrassed I was when I took her dancing.
Embarrassed?
Yeah, I had to wear elevator shoes.
You, a 50-footer, wore elevated shoes?
I wanted to be taller than she.
Now, wait a minute. How could she possibly be taller than you?
Her garden had a longer hose.
Oh, that's... Ladies and gentlemen, the nice words of praise that you have been writing us about our latest picture, The Stooge, are truly music to our ears. And speaking of nice words and lovely music, here's a song that has both.
Her arms were warm as they welcomed me. Her eyes were fire bright. And then I knew that my path must be through the ever-haunted night. For darling again, my heart will find no home. Anywhere I wander, anywhere I roam. Her voice was, oh, such a soft caress of love it gently told, and in her smile was a tenderness I may never more behold. But
germ.
Oh, joy. Oh, happiness. Oh, gay frivolity. I'm as happy as a lark.
What's this all about, Jer?
I just got a letter from my childhood sweetheart, the girl I kissed by accident when I was 3 years old.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jer. How could you kiss a little girl by accident?
We were both eating from opposite ends of a licorice stick, and I ate past my hair.
Oh, she must be quite a romantic gal. She wrote this letter on paper that the butcher used to wrap meat in.
Well, read it to me, Dean.
Okay. Dear Jerry, I am stepping out of your life because you're an idiot, an ignoramus, an imbecile, a moron, and a slob.
Dean, I can understand her leaving me, but at least you should give me a reason.
Well, there's more, Jerry. Jerry, I can't stand you. I loathe you and despise you. You turn my stomach. I hate you, hate you, hate you.
That's all, Dean?
That's all, Jerry.
No loving kissing.
Oh, Dean, I must find her.
Well, Jerry, there's only one person who might be able to track her down. A fellow we happily bring back as our guest tonight by popular demand, the famous guardian of law and order, Mr. Dragnet himself, Jack Webb!
All right, that's the first portion of the Martin and Lewis Show with special guest Jack Webb. We'll get back to it, plus a lot more of the WGN Radio Theater after these words. Just you
wait. This is Dean Richards. I'm not going to throw away my shot to talk with Wayne Brady joining the Chicago cast of Hamilton. Hear it at 11:35.
Dean Richards Sunday morning starts at 9 on 720 WGN.
See what a genius that Elif is? She had a promo for Dean Richards while we're playing Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. She timed all that. This took weeks and weeks of preparation.
Yeah,
to
I don't
do that.
Get it.
Yeah.
I don't get the connection.
You don't
Sorry.
Get it?
No.
Dean and Dean.
Yeah, Dean! It's not working for me.
You know?
Yeah.
Martin and Lewis, they were funny, weren't they? This is a very
funny
radio show. And then, of course, they did the Colgate Comedy Hour on television. They had, along with Abbott and Costello, it was like a rotating. Colgate had an hour-long show every week, but they had rotating comedians on it in the 1950s. Abbott and Costello were part of that. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, and I think there were a couple of other comedians. I think maybe Eddie Cantor did something like that as well, but rotating comedians, and we have all of the kinescopes of it. Jerry Lewis had all of them, and we put them out on DVD. Lisa, I don't have a DVD player though.
I don't either.
I don't have a DVD player anymore. Isn't that
technology.
Weird?
I've
actually learned how to download things off of Netflix and watch them. You know, you click it or whatever, or hit play, and then it plays.
You know, on my remote, it's all voice activated, so I just click on the button and I just say what I want to watch, and that's that.
I do that too.
Isn't that exciting?
You know what I usually say to it?
I don't want to know what
Fox
you're watching.
Fox News.
No, you do not. That is not what you are watching.
I like Fox News. I happen to like the people on Fox News. I happen to like. I mean, I watch all the different news shows. I watch every news show, but
you can get the news a lot of places.
I watch
now,
every news show, but
every news show.
I
you
do.
Watch every news show.
Yeah.
You got too much time on your hands.
Well, that's not really the only thing, other than dramas on Netflix and things.
You watch some shows. I know you do.
Yeah. Well, I said other than the dramas.
Oh, other than
I watch news. I watch all the different news channels. Well, I like the news.
All right. Then
I like
you
to
are
know what's going.
Date.
I'm kind of newsy.
That's good.
Very newsy.
Newsy is what I tell you.
It's 12:30, and oh, look who's up there. Look
where?
At the, look at the man in blue up there.
Where?
The man in blue.
Pay no attention to that man in the square.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. what was that from, Lisa? Do you know?
I sure do, Carl.
Do you?
Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute.
Lisa.
What does she win if she guesses?
Are you kidding me?
Does Elif know?
Who are you talking to?
Let's check with Elif. Elif, what movie is this from?
It's not just a movie.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Who is that? What movie is that from?
Clueless.
Uh-huh. A little bit further back, like 1939.
The Addams Family? Mean Girls?
Yeah, Mean Girls was 1939.
Mean Girls.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me see.
She's young.
Let me do it with a little effect here. Hold on.
Yeah,
let me see
ahead.
If I can. Maybe it'll sound like. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
The Dark Knight.
Roger, that wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad.
I give you a 3 out of 10.
I'm going to give you a 7, Roger.
The Russian judge gave you a 4.
A 4?
Because they're trying to help us. We're back. And we have 6 hours on this radio station every week, Lisa. That's pretty darn cool.
We are pretty darn lucky to be here.
You know, I always, and you know this to be true, because we've talked about this for years before we ever had a radio show here. I always said, I hope someday we can be on WGN, because I think the WGN audience and the way the signal beams all over the country, if we had a chance to present these classic radio shows on the greatest radio station in the world, I said it would be a hit because people love these classic radio shows. What better way to expose these shows to a wide audience than on WGN?
Many years and many a phone call we talked and said, you said to me, do you ever think we will be able to do what we do on WGN? And mm-hmm. I remember what I said to you.
What?
I said, I don't know.
You said you don't know?
I don't know.
Well, you know.
I mean, I wanted to say yes, but
the power
I
of
just,
positive energy, right?
I just don't know, but.
And then one day we got a call.
We did.
We got a call from the powers at WGN. Todd and Stephanie called and said, you know, we've got
let's talk.
We've got like 30 seconds on WGN. We'll give you. Can you play classic radio in 30 seconds
or less?
Yeah.
And we said we'll do
sure,
whatever
we'll do
you
it
want.
At anytime you want.
Anything, anytime.
No, they
we're
had
there.
3 hours on Sunday. We started on Sunday,
right?
And we were just tickled.
We're moving up to Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, yeah. and Monday.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we started on Sundays. And that was people liked the show. People, the ratings were really, really good. So guess what? Now we're on Saturday and Sunday, and I could not be happier. It's this is the highlight of my week, coming down here and playing these classic radio shows and hanging out with Lisa and Ella.
I feel the same way.
And Roger and David, and we have
Roger waved.
We have a great time, you know. And Roger, don't you agree? These radio shows—it's a perfect marriage. This radio station.
Carl, you should not be talking about marriage.
No. I tried that once.
Lisa's what now? I didn't care.
What
Lisa,
about Lisa?
Lisa's a what?
What?
No? What? What did you say about marriage?
He
Lisa's
said,
getting
Lisa
married?
Marriage at the same sense is kind of yeah. weird.
No, I said these classic radio yeah. shows and this station mm-hmm. and our listeners, it's like a perfect marriage because,
oh, yeah.
because it, first of all, the format of this station, entertainment talk. And right. these shows are talk and they're entertaining, right?
Yeah, and I think in the evening it's a really good time
it's good,
to
yeah, it's a
present
great time.
Them.
And so I always felt it would be a very popular genre on this station, and people seem to really like it. We get a lot of texts, a lot of calls. We even got some mail, and we had a really nice letter today.
We did.
We got a letter from a listener.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say his name. Let's just say
his
Jerome.
First name.
Just
yeah.
Jerome S.
Jerome S.
Yeah,
in Florida.
From Century, Florida.
Got a
Florida.
Letter. Yeah, we
wow.
got a letter.
Very cool.
He says the signal.
There.
He can pick it up in Florida.
Okay.
And he loves the show. He loves the comedies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And he listens with a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
yeah.
And we
and
actually
Jerome, if you're
appreciate
listening,
the mail.
If you're listening
even snail
out there,
mail gets to us.
If you're listening, we got your letter. Thank you for taking it. It was a handwritten letter. It was a long letter. He really enjoys the show, and we want to thank you, Jerome. Appreciate your letter. It really touched us, and we appreciate it.
We
yeah.
got some holiday cards today from
yeah.
Jim, who's
from,
one
yeah.
of our regular
Jim,
listeners.
Jim out in Norwich. He sent us a couple of holiday cards. We just got them. I guess mail is not the greatest we got our Christmas cards here.
Well, I mean,
but
take a look
em.
At the front of the envelope, see when it was mailed.
And it's an Elvis.
Here,
it's an
see.
Elvis stamp.
Ooh,
look at that.
Save that.
Let me
save
see.
That.
It was mailed. Oh, I don't know.
So we get mail
it
here.
Doesn't have the postmark.
It's all messed up.
Text,
oh, okay.
Twitter,
yeah. so what do you,
and
what
Instagram.
You're trying to say,
we get like, all of those here.
Like they used to say,
yeah.
keep those cards and letters
coming
in, folks.
Yeah,
yeah we appreciate that.
Yeah.
And hang by your thumbs.
You can also, you can if you have internet, you can Facebook us.
Bob and Ray, remember? Hang by your thumbs. All right, it's Dean
Just
Martin.
Just when you have this guy figured out, he comes in with something new every time.
Hang by your thumbs. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis were enjoying this from 1953. Guest is Jack Webb. Here's the conclusion to the Martin and Lewis show.
Hi, Dean. Say, what's wrong with Jerry?
He's miserable because his girl has disappeared.
She was his childhood sweetheart, Jack. He kissed her the first time when she was 3 years old.
Oh, Jerry, that was just puppy love.
I guess that explains your cold nose. Oh, Mr. Webb, sir, will you please help me find her? Please help me find my girl. Portia Grimmineth.
Your gal's name is Portia?
Well, that name figures. If she could face Jerry, she could face life.
Jerry would help Jack locate her if he knew more about her.
Yeah, where'd she work?
Oh, she worked at the laundry. She was the best sprinkler they had.
Best sprinkler in the laundry? How come?
Her front tooth was missing.
Yeah, she's the gal who was sent to the laundry convention as Miss Mangle.
And she deserved the honor, too. Here's a picture of her taken down at the beach in a bathing suit.
But what's that big bulge in the back of her suit?
Her clothes. She couldn't afford a locker.
Wow, get a load of that wench. No hair, no eyelashes, no teeth.
Jerry, we might be able to locate her if you got in touch with the Bureau of Missing Persons.
You think that's the right place?
Sure. She's got more things missing than any person I ever saw. Jerry, this picture here of Portia isn't very clear. Does she have any distinguishing characteristics?
Well, Mr. Webb, she has a triple chin, but it's not noticeable.
How come?
Her lower lip covers it.
Well, that's no help. There are thousands of girls like that in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but you only find them on blind dates.
But she does have one outstanding feature. She wears earrings that come down to her ankles.
That's simply amazing.
What's so amazing? Her ears come down to her knees.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll put a tracer on her if you can tell me where she hangs out.
From the looks of that picture, she hangs out all over. Jack, if this were Dragnet, how would you go about finding somebody who was missing?
Well, now, look here, Dean. Last time I was your guest, we did a Dragnet scene, and right now I don't think I'm up to it.
Well, turn a page and you are.
Benjamin, set the scene.
Right, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen, Dragnet. Starring Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Jack Webb. Tonight, the same sterling Jim Dandy cast brings you a peachy-keen sequel to Dragnet entitled... Son of Dragnet. For tonight's version, we show you how the law was enforced a long, long time ago in the very early days when our country, America, was still a British colony.
This is ye old city. None of the settlers has settled here yet. We're stuck with the city. My name is Thursday. It used to be from... It used to be Friday, but after 20 years on the force, they gave me a day off. I wear a fireman's hat, a fireman's coat, a fireman's suspenders. I'm a cop.
I'm a cop, too. My name is Dino Antonio Giuseppe Angelo Pietro Garibaldi Corsetti. I'm Italian. Before I got on the police force, I worked as an olive stuffer. I stuffed him the hard way. I crawled through the hole in the olive, dragging my pimento behind me. I'm quick on the trigger. I shoot as soon as I pull the gun out of my holster.
I'm a cop, too. I shoot without taking my gun out of my holster. My name is No Toes Lewis. I'm new on a force, but I know which side my bread is buttered on. I can look at a slice of bread and say, this side is buttered. This is a bitter, cold winter's day in Salem, Massachusetts. The date is December 49th. It's so cold, January was afraid to show up.
Brr. Hello, No Toes.
Brr. Hello, Thursday. I just can't keep warm here in Salem. What'll I do?
Throw another witch on the fire.
Never mind that. It's about time you got here, Chief. I've been trying to track down a beautiful blue-eyed blonde with a gorgeous figure.
Well, maybe I can bring her in. What's the charge?
You bring her in. I'll think of something.
I picked up the phone and answered it. This was very hard to do. The telephone hadn't been invented yet. Hello, ye old police headquarters. Thursday speaking.
Hello, Chief Dino. Is it against the pilgrim law to kiss a girl riding out in the street?
Nope.
See, I told you, babe. Come on, pucker up.
Well, listen, you get back to headquarters at once, Dino. We've got to check on the alibi of ye old Boston Blackie.
Chief, there's something funny about ye old.
Well, I checked on him, too. He's the head of the American Society for the Preservation of American Ideals and American Customs in the American Colonies for all freedom-loving Americans.
What does that outfit do?
They're foreign spies.
Hey, Chief, I found a body up in the mountains frozen stiff in the snow.
How'd you get him here?
It was downhill and I belly-walked him all the way.
That's strange. The body is rolled up in a small circle, and there's a gaping hole right through his chest. How do you figure it, Lewis?
It's simple. He was beaten to death with a donut.
Suddenly, a rock came through the window. The three of us bent down and picked it up. It was very heavy. It was the Plymouth Rock. I knew it was the Plymouth Rock because it was covered with pilgrims.
Chief, there's a note on the rock. It says Manhattan Island was just stolen from the Indians while the night watchman was asleep. The mob that swiped it is trying to unload it on the settlers for $24.
Who in this town could hide a hot island?
Could only be one guy. Hockshop Harry. Just look at his record, Chief. He robbed the First National Bank, the Second National Bank, the Third National Bank, and the Fifth National Bank.
How come he didn't rob the Fourth National Bank?
That's where he deposits the money.
Well, we gotta pick up Hockshop Harry. Hand me that police microphone.
But, Chief, the microphone hasn't been invented yet.
This is an emergency. We can't wait.
Oh.
Calling all police horses. Calling all police horses.
Hello, Chief. This is Officer Stabile. I'm police horse number 99.
That's police horse number 66. You're riding upside down.
Hey, Wally-o. Got an assignment for you. Be on the lookout for Hockshop Harry.
And be careful, Stabile. He carries 4 guns, 5 swords, 3 daggers, and 12 hand grenades. Don't get too close to him. It's dangerous.
Why?
He doesn't brush his teeth with chlorophyll.
I already ran into Harry. We had a fight and he escaped, but I tore his clothes.
Well, come on, boys. We gotta find Harry.
It won't be easy. Where's his hideout?
Wherever his clothes are torn.
Oh.
We started out for the waterfront where Harry hangs out. I knew the street well. It was on a corner of Hickory and Dickory, and that's right down by the dock.
We decided to ride down on horseback. It was so foggy, we couldn't see a thing. When we galloped down to Harry's place, the fog suddenly lifted, and I realized why we were all so tired. We'd forgotten our horses.
When we got to Harry's place, I saw him crouching against the wall in the dark. I took a pot shot at Harry. My aim was perfect. My shot hit him right in the pot.
All right, No Toes. You go in and snap these handcuffs on Harry.
Okay, but I'm scared. Dino, if I faint, bring me a glass of water.
How will I know when you fainted?
I get a stupid look on my face.
But how will I know when you fainted?
All right, Hockshop Harry. We got you surrounded. Now, will you come peacefully, or do we have to run for our lives?
Wait a minute, compas. You can't pull me without a warrant.
Oh, yeah? Well, we've got one.
Okay, let's have a warrant.
Warrant you the one who robbed the bank?
Well, friends, once upon a time, an important step in every young Romeo's routine was to serenade his lady fair beneath her balcony with something soft, sweet, and sentimental. Well, nowadays, though the romantic approach is different, the sweet serenading still goes on. So why don't you listen?
So beautiful, here am I. The shadows beautiful lady. Open your heart. One scene is set, the breezes sing of it. Can't you get into the swing of it, lady? When you whisper, when the lady is kissable, and the evening is cool, in the heart of a fool. The moon is high, and you're so glamorous, and if I seem over amorous, lady, what can I do? The night is young, and I'm in love with you. And you're so glamorous, and if I seem over amorous, lady, what can I do? The night is young, and I'm in love with.
Wonderful, Dean. A good singing job well done. Didn't you think so, Jerry?
Yeah, it was real swell.
Well, Jack, thanks for coming down. It's always a pleasure to be in your company.
It sure is, Jack. Make your visits here early and often.
I'd love to. Good night, Dean. Jerry, good night, all.
Good night, Jack.
Good night, Jack, and thank you.
Well, until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And this is Jerry Lewis saying good night and thank you all.
God bless you all.
From Hollywood, you've just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Produced and directed by Dick Mack. Written by Arthur Phillips and Austin Kalish. With music prepared and conducted by Dick Stabile. And this is George Fenneman reminding you to listen to Dragnet Sunday night on the same NBC station. And asking you to now listen to a special message from Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Thank you, George Fenneman. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean and I would like to leave you with this reminder. The Muscular Dystrophy Association is still desperately in need of funds. Remember, your life-giving contributions can help find a cure for a disease that now brings nothing but suffering and heartbreak. There is no hope unless you help. Please send whatever you can to MDA, that's M as in money, D as in desperate, and A as in all you can spare. MDA, New York 8, New York. Thank you and good night.
Tonight, visit Fibber McGee and Molly on NBC.
That is the Martin and Lewis Show. Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, January 13th, 1953. Their special guest, Jack Webb, they did a skit on Dragnet called Hairnet. Very funny. And you know who was the head writer of this show at this time, Lisa? Talk about an amazing writer for comedy, especially television, early television comedy. Norman Lear was the head writer on this show. Also, Ed Simmons was a writer. And Dick Mack did the producing and directing. The Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and then, we only have one more hour.
Right,
one more hour.
Got the Green
but in
Hornet.
Our next hour, you're right, Green Hornet. Stick around. All right, so we're starting hour three here. This is going fast.
It is going fast.
The show
that's
is
because we're having fun.
Flying by, Lisa. I can't wait to see Saturday Night Fever at the Drury Lane.
Next Thursday, a week from Thursday, in Oak Brook.
In Oak Brook. Can't wait.
Yep.
I used to have an office at the Tower in Oak Brook.
I remember.
Yeah, it was
it
a great
office. It was a beautiful office.
You know what?
So you had two offices
Well,
there,
here's
actually.
What happened. They had one of those shared, you know, it was like the whole floor.
Shared space.
It was
space.
The 17th floor of the Oak Brook Terrace Tower. And I needed an office, and I went there, and it was absolutely off the charts.
It was already furnished.
It was fabulous.
That's why I got your tables, because it was already
right.
furnished. So this was to my benefit.
Oh, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had an office before that, and I had granite desks and tables.
Black granite. It is so beautiful.
Yeah.
With, like,
then,
silver bursts in it.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Of just, like, shiny silver rock. It's so beautiful.
Right. And then I rented an office at this shared space. It was
all furnished.
That building, and I had the coolest office because it was like a pie shape. Remember?
I do remember it.
And one wall was all glass, and my view was the city.
I remember.
I could
the
actually
office.
See the Sears Tower and stuff.
It was beautiful.
And but then they decided. I don't know if it wasn't doing well. That floor wasn't it? Maybe because I was.
Maybe because
on
you
the
were
floor
on it.
And people didn't want to rent there.
Right.
Because of me.
I get it.
But all of a sudden, they were like, oh, we're not going to have this anymore.
Have what?
The shared floor.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? They're like, you have to move out. So I moved out.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm not there anymore.
No. So
now I
go?
Need my desks back. Is there any way I can get my desks back?
There is no way you can have your desks back.
Not.
They've turned into a dining room and a kitchen table.
Yeah.
I separated your big T into two separate tables.
Wow.
Cost me a little bit of money to do that. You know, I had to get an extra base.
It was well
put on,
worth it, though. Let me tell you.
Smooth out the sides and bevel it and everything.
Those were some expensive tables.
I know.
And then, so that was sort of my home. What do you call it? Homewarming gift for you.
Housewarming.
Homewarming. That was my housewarming gift to you.
Well, it was.
And
a
then the first time
gift.
Lisa invited me over to her house, I didn't bring anything. What
That's
a cheapskate!
True, right?
What a cheapskate!
You're still thinking about that, huh?
I cannot. I owe you a bottle of wine or something.
Well, luckily, I don't
like
drink.
Like a good
so
bottle of wine.
I don't know the difference.
Not Mogan David.
I seriously don't know the difference, but the Blackberry Mogan David is tasty.
No, you know what I'm going to bring you?
It's seriously,
I'm going to bring you some good stuff. I'm bringing you a box wine.
I honestly don't know the difference. I'm so not cultured that
no,
way.
No, I'm going to bring you a nice bottle of wine. I'm going to bring you
red or white
something
bottle
from,
of red.
You know, like a vintage year, like 2017.
Bottle of white.
And
how about from Walgreens?
Pretty,
Walgreens
what a
has
cheapskate
some.
I
Walgreens
am.
Has some good.
Come
beer.
Over to
I mean
Lisa's.
Wine.
I come over to Lisa's house.
For nothing.
For dinner.
It's true.
She ordered Chinese, and it was darn good.
Well, you know what? You'll have to come back, and we'll do it again.
And I show up empty-handed.
It's
what
true. I bet if I invited Al, if she'd bring
so
something.
So that's why I think Roger's never invited me over to his house. He knows. He's heard that I'm a cheapskate.
Well, everybody's
so
heard.
At my place. We live in a cheap place, and you know, you got to sit on the floor.
Roger, it's you okay. have my word.
You
when
go
I
out
have
get
this,
your own food,
when
bring
I,
it in.
When I have this Chinese food dinner, you are on the invite list.
Oh, yeah,
I'd love to
Chinese
have
food.
You over.
But
and
you know
your
what?
Wife
here's
too.
A here's a hint. Here's a little helpful hint.
Uh-oh.
You don't have to bring anything. She'll still feed you.
That is true.
That's awesome.
That is true.
Now
as a matter of
really
fact, I prefer that you don't bring anything.
Really?
Really.
I can stop off at some place.
You could stop off at Walgreens, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then, you know, to triply embarrass me, I invited her over to my place, her and Dan, her husband, and she brought something nice. I think you brought something really nice over to
Dan.
Me. She was probably like,
we did.
She's probably like, here, cheapskate, here.
Yeah, that's me.
Uh-huh.
I prefer when I, honestly, this is true, when I do things at my house, whether it's
when you order
I do Mother's
in,
Day, no,
when you order
Father's
food
Day
in.
And birthdays and all that stuff. No, I make
very
stuff.
Very talented at ordering
I,
food
I
in.
I tell everybody not to bring anything because at my house.
Why?
Because it's my house and I just don't want you to have
it's
that
my
responsibility.
House.
She's got a, like some businesses, like the bowling alley I go to on Thursday nights.
I got
outside
it covered.
Food and drinks are not allowed
that,
inside.
I've got it covered.
Because you have to eat their food.
You got to
right.
eat my
See?
Food.
Yeah.
I love my house and I love having people over. So I'd love to have you guys over.
Yeah, you're you like.
But let's not talk.
She's like Donna Reed.
Let's not talk in front
she
of
likes
Elif.
Having people over. Donna
we'll
Reed.
We'll talk when Elif leaves.
Oh, yeah. Elif. All right, so in this hour, we have a fun episode of The Green Hornet, Good Adventure from 1943. You won't want to miss that. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, da-dum, 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 da-dum. It's time for
your celebrity scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming superhero film Wonder Woman as the love interest of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you get him correctly, you will get a pair. If you guess him correctly, you get a pair of tickets to My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra at Theater at the Center.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. He was the star of Star Trek Into Darkness.
You are a criminal. I watched you murder innocent men and women. I was authorized to end you.
If he says
it, I believe it.
981-7200. Who is that actor? We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the one and only WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
You are a criminal. I watched you murder innocent men and women. I was authorized to end you.
And we have Mark on the line from Kenosha. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Hi, Mark.
To hear from you. I was speaking for you too, Carl. We're both good. Mark, do you recognize that actor?
I did, especially with the second clue, but it is a Chris Pine.
Chris Pine is absolutely right. We are thrilled to give you a pair of tickets to My Way, a musical tribute to Frank Sinatra at Theater at the Center in Munster, Indiana, playing February 9th through the March 19th. You can check it out at theateratthecenter.com. We hope you enjoy the show. It sounds like a great show.
Oh, what Italian wouldn't want to hear a Sinatra song?
That's
you know
right,
what?
Buddy.
And,
you
and
know
even
it.
Those of us who aren't Italian will appreciate it as well.
My favorite Sinatra song is Summer Wind.
Can you sing a little
that.
Bar of that for us?
Yeah, it's a good one, right, Mark?
I'm going to let Carl sing that one.
No, I'm not going to.
Don't want to do it. Nah. Don't want to embarrass yourself.
Nah.
All right.
You know, I think Chris Pine... He shortened his name, I think, also at Ellis Island.
Ellis Island.
Yeah, I think his name was Chris Pine Cone at one time.
Pine- really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're making that up, right?
Pine Cone.
Pine Cona.
Yeah.
Like a little Italian on the end.
Wait, I didn't do this. There we go.
There you go.
All right.
Thank
well,
you so
you're
much.
You're a winner, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
All right,
thank
man. Take
much.
Care,
Take
buddy.
Care.
All right. Are you ready, Lisa?
I'm ready, Carl.
Are we wearing our Green Hornet and Cato uniforms? You're in black. You're dressed all in black.
Yeah.
I kind of am,
We're
too.
We're kind of looking like a bad guys
yeah.
here. Yeah.
All right. Time for the Green Hornet. This is from March 7th, 1943. It's called The Corpse That Wasn't There. It stars Al Hodge, who later went on to star as Captain Video. I think that's how they said it.
Just like that. Yeah.
All right. Here's part one of the Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in the thrilling adventure, The Corpse That Wasn't There. The Green Hornet strikes again. Miss Case and Ed Lowry were returning to the Daily Sentinel after lunch. The streets were crowded, and as they took their last corner, a man hurrying from the opposite direction ran into them.
Oh, excuse me, I'm in a hurry.
Hey, why don't you watch where you're going, you...
I tell you, Casey, sometimes I think they need traffic lights on the sidewalk, too. Are you okay?
Yes, except for my handbag.
Oh, wait, well, here it is on the sidewalk. Hey, is this yours, too?
What?
This letter.
No, it's not mine. It's already been mailed, hasn't it?
Yeah. Mailed and unsealed.
Lowry, never mind your reporter instincts. It's not right to look at other people's mail.
Oh, nuts, I wasn't going to open it. Well, what do we do with it? Throw it away?
It may be important.
Mr. Ernest Kegler. It's probably the joker who bumped into you. Well, why should we bother with it?
Give it to me, Lowry. I'll call him up from the office. Gosh, look at the time. We better hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Miss Case.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Reed.
Anything important?
No, it's been pretty quiet all morning. Here's your mail.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, let's... Wait, this one. This isn't mine, Miss Case.
Oh, yes, that's a letter that someone dropped on the street. I've been trying to reach him by phone. Do you mind if I try now?
Well, no, go right ahead. I'll glance at my letter.
Hello, switchboard. Yes, this is Lenore, Helen. Will you try that number again? It's... Yes, that's right.
Here's a letter from Clicker Binney. She's a second officer in the WACS now.
Uh-huh, in North Africa.
Have that posted on a bulletin board, eh?
Yes, sir. Yes, Helen. Oh. Hello, Kay, thanks. Maybe he does work in a factory or someplace. No, I won't bother. Bye. Still no answer.
Why not just put it in an envelope and send it to him?
I guess that's the easiest thing.
Hey, wait a minute. Is this the address?
Yes.
It's right on my way home. I'll tell you what, Miss Case. I'll drop it off there myself. How's that?
There's house. I come back in one moment. Mr. Britt.
Well, that didn't take you long. Cato, you've still got the letter.
Mr. Britt, please. I see something through the window. You come look.
What's that?
Please, you come with me.
All right.
There. You see?
I'll be... Cato, try the door.
Oh, it's unlocked, Mr. Britt.
Come on. Watch out. Easy now.
What do you think, Mr. Britt?
Oh, it's obvious. All we needed was one look. Where's the phone?
On table. What's the matter?
I don't get a dial tone, Cato. It's odd. Oh, I thought so. Cato, this telephone wire's been cut.
Oh, that's very bad.
I'll get to the nearest phone and call the police. You stay here, Cato.
Oh, this is very sad. Too bad for him.
Yes.
Oh, that's Mr. Britt. Hello? Mr. Britt? Mr. Britt, that's you? Mr. Britt?
Get him. What? Oh. I'll get busy.
Cato, you're all right. Come on, you're all right. That's it. Come on now.
Mr. Britt, what happened?
Well, that's what I want to know. I found you in the hall when we got here. Got a bump on the top of your head like an egg. Looks like a blackjack. Who was it?
I don't know.
What happened?
Well, I wait in the room, like you say. Then I hear a door close. I think it's you. I call and come out. Mr. Britt, I hear voices.
Hmm?
Voices back in the room. Who are they?
Well, they're just the police, Cato. They're checking on the body. Forget it. Now, go on. You came out this door. And then what?
Somebody close by me say, get him. I try to see who it is, but something hit me on the head. That's all. That's all, except... Where is the letter?
The letter we came here to deliver? Well, you had it.
I have it no more. Letter's gone.
So that's what they wanted.
Hey, Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed.
Oh, yes, what is it, officer?
Hey, what kind of a joke is this?
Joke? Murder's no joke.
Sure, that's what I mean. What was the idea of calling up the police and having all this...
Yeah, what are you going... What are you people doing in my house? What are those cars outside the door?
Who are you?
Who am I? I live here. My name is Ernest Kegler. What does this mean? I come home...
Now, just a moment, Mr. Kegler. My name is Reed. I'm publisher of the Daily Sentinel. Tell me, what's a dead man doing in your living room?
What kind of privacy can I put... What's that? A dead man in my living room?
Yes. Murdered.
Murdered? But I...
Now, hold on. Wait a minute. One thing at a time. Mr. Reed, if you're playing a joke, you're carrying it too far.
Joke? What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Take a look in that room. There's no murdered man. There's nobody at all.
That's right, Miss Case. I hadn't noticed myself. When I got back there, Cato was lying in the hall. I didn't go into the living room at all. The police went in.
It's the strangest thing I ever heard of, Mr. Reed.
The body was gone. No trace of it. If it hadn't been for the broken telephone wire, I might have believed it was a dream.
And Cato and you both had the same dream. Yeah. Well, what are the police going to do? Take you to a psychiatrist?
Oh, not quite. After all, they realized I wouldn't phone about nothing. They've decided that Cato and I walked in on a practical joke.
Someone was just playing dead.
That's it.
And got up and beat it after Cato left the room, I suppose. What about using a blackjack on Cato? Was that to make the joke more practical?
Well, they haven't figured that one out yet.
Oh, good grief. All this because you delivered a lost letter.
Well, that reminds me. The letter was gone, too. Cato had it, and then when he...
Hello, boss. Hi, Casey.
Hello, Laurie.
Well, Laurie?
I drew a blank, boss.
You stayed with the police, didn't you?
Sure, and like you said, I hung right on their shoulders while they checked up on this Ernest Kegler guy, the one who owned the house.
Well, that's on the level. It is his house?
He's on the level all the way. His name's Ernest Kegler. He does own the house, and he's even got fingerprint proof of identification.
Fingerprints, Mr. Reed? A criminal record?
That's Casey. Don't jump the gun. This guy works in a war plant. That's how he had fingerprints.
Oh.
Simon Pura.
As the driven snow. I don't know, boss. Maybe you and Cato walked in on a fraternity initiation.
It seems so. Now, somehow I was sure that when the police investigated Ernest Kegler, they'd run into something. Laura, you saw Kegler.
Yeah?
Did he look like the man who bumped into Miss Case on the street?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get a close look that time. I asked Kegler about a letter, and he said, yes, he'd lost one, but it wasn't important.
Well, it looks like the end of what might have been a good story for the Sentinel. I'll see you later, Miss Case.
But, Mr. Reed, you just arrived.
And now I'm leaving. I'll tell you something else. Kegler and the man I saw lying on the floor looked almost like twins. Goodbye.
Holy mackerel. Say, Casey, maybe the boss is crazy.
Mr. Britt, I think about it all day. If it were not for a bump on my head, I would not be sure.
You and I are the only ones who are positive, Cato. And with that letter missing...
Yes?
There's something strange going on, I'm sure of it.
Yes, sir.
But we've been wrong before. We may be wrong again. But at least we're going to find out.
Hmm?
There's no use sitting around talking about it. Maybe we can use the role of the Green Hornet. Get the mask and the gas gun. We're taking the Black Beauty.
A few seconds later, stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passage built within the wall of the apartment house itself. This passage led to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, superpowered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then dropped into place as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
Where we go, Mr. Britt?
Same place, Cato. To Kegler's home. Kegler's house is down at the far end of the block. We can leave the Black Beauty here in the alley. Here's the street. It's good and dark. We won't be... Cato, did you see that?
Yes, sir. Somebody go in Kegler's front door.
It looked like Lowry. I might have known. Lowry's a swell reporter. He always keeps digging.
Yes, but in this case, that's not so good for us, no?
It might turn out all right, Cato. In fact, it might be very helpful. Come on. We'll get into that house quietly. We'll be there when Lowry leaves. We might get something.
All right, Cato. Green Hornet here.
I've been called worse than that, so I'll take it.
All right, Cato. You're a karate expert, Cato.
Oh, yeah.
Who played Cato on television in the... Green Hornet TV series, Lisa. Come on.
I didn't used to watch that.
You know who this. You know who played Cato. Come on.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Bruce?
Oh, now you gave it away.
Who?
Well, now you gave it away.
What?
Well, now I'm not going to say it.
Bruce Lee.
I'm not going to say it now.
All right. Okay. That's the first portion of the Green Hornet from March 7th, 1943. The corpse that wasn't there. We'll get back to it. Oh, this is cool. This is cool music. Aleph?
Yes.
What is it?
It's by two DJs named Air, and it's called... called Mère du Japon.
Mère du Japon? So what's it say? What are they? What's what are they? Huh? I speak fluent.
Fluent, what?
Huh? Pretty good, huh?
You speak fluidly.
There's only one thing I know how to say in French, and it's all I need to know.
Je t'aime.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
You know what? Yes. We didn't talk about Cat's Pride drawing, because it's coming up. Two people are going to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter at the end of this month. Two people, Lisa. So we should tell our listeners to get their picture in, right?
Right. You're so passionate and excited.
You're getting me all worked up here. Double the amount of people this month.
Yeah, so it's a big month. We are going to have Dan Jaffe here the last Sunday of January to pick two winners to get an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which we know is the best on the market. We've seen the commercials for the Fresh and Light Ultimate Care with Katherine Heigl. They are terrific. And what you need to do is send a picture of you and your cat or just any old cat that you find on the street. That's fine, too. Send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. We will pick two lucky winners. Don't forget to put your name, your cat's name, your city and state. And we are thrilled to have two people have the opportunity for an entire year supply of the best kitty litter on the market.
Right. And that email, once again, is catspridephoto@gmail.com. Send that picture in. Do it right away because you want to have your cat and your chance to win.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you sent it last month, send it again.
Send it again.
Then each month we need you to resend it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's time now. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome.
It's time for the conclusion to the corpse that wasn't there on the Green Hornet.
No, there isn't anything special I want to see about Mr. Kegler, but I just can't help feeling that the boss did run into something. He's a level-headed guy.
Yes, I understand. I read the Sentinel myself, a good newspaper.
He just stopped off to do you a favor and return that letter. The one you dropped when we bumped, remember?
Oh, yes, but it wasn't important. Please, why don't you forget the whole thing?
Oh, you know us reporters.
Maybe there was somebody here. I don't know. Maybe it was a practical joke. But whatever it was or wasn't, it's over and done with.
Okay. Say, you've got your letter, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, good night.
Here, I'll show you to the door.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Of course, next time.
Go to the door, Kato.
Yes, sir. We learned nothing yet.
Kato, back behind the drapes.
Hello. Kegler talking. A reporter was here. I'm worried. But I... All right, if you say so. Yes, I understand. Yes, nothing to worry about. What? All right, I'll destroy the letter at once. Goodbye.
Okay, Kegler, hand over that letter.
Good. Look out! He has a gun!
House in the suburbs on the other side of the city from Kegler's home, a man named Bolton hung up the phone and crossed to another room.
Who was that on the phone, Bolton?
It was Kegler.
Oh?
Yeah. Reporter from the Sentinel was nosing around again. I told him to forget it. Nothing's going to go wrong.
He's nervous, man.
Well, you can't blame him. It was pretty close.
Yes. It's a lucky thing that fellow we slugged had the letter. I lifted it right from his hand.
Yeah, I told Kegler to burn it. We read it already.
Yes. Say, we've got to do something about, that dead man.
Sure.
Maybe the level...
Oh, shut up, will you? I'm thinking.
Hey. Where now?
I want to double check. I'm going to call Kegler and make sure he burned that letter. It's 5 minutes. He's had plenty of time.
That letter would mean our finish if it got in the wrong hands.
Yeah. It's funny. No answer. Wonder what happened.
Still no answer?
Yeah, still no answer. How many times is that?
I don't know, 10 maybe.
It's been almost an hour.
Maybe he went out?
Sure he went out. But why? It's almost midnight. He said nothing to me on the phone about going...
Hey.
Yeah, come on. Hello, so you came here.
Yes.
Well, where you been? I've been calling you.
I didn't burn the letter, Bolton. And there's somebody who knows about it.
Now, what's eating you?
Come in here. It's dark out there. Come on in. Yes. Right now, let's have it. What happened to the letter? And what do you mean somebody knows about it?
I can tell you, Bolton.
Well, you're masked.
The Green Hornet outfit. Leave it there. Reach for that gun and I pull this trigger.
Hey, what's this all about? Kegel, you pulling a fast one?
Don't blame him. He shot at me. It's just his tough luck that he missed, that's all. Now, how much is this letter worth, Bolton?
Nothing. Why?
And what happened to the man who was killed in Kegler's house?
What about the man?
Bite your lip, man.
Don't kid me, Bolton. You've covered up pretty fast, but I've got ways of finding things out. Who was that dead man?
You're off the beam.
Was he somebody who knew your setup? Or maybe this Kegler is a fake. Maybe the dead man was the real Kegler.
You're pretty smart, aren't you?
The police might think so.
Don't give me that. You were the Hornets. You wouldn't go to the police.
If I can't get it from you, maybe I can get it from your stooge here. Come on, Kegler. Come on, we'll let Bolton think about it.
Stay here, Kegler.
He's coming with me.
No, he's not. I don't think you can handle him the right way. Me and Mannheim can do that. We'll take... Now get that gun.
I'll shoot one side. I can't shoot.
You won't get a chance. I'll take it one side, Kegler.
Gas. Mannheim, get him. Gas. Get him.
That gun, it didn't make a sound.
Okay, Kegler, come along. And close your mouth. You look like a fish. Hold it. What's back there?
A garage.
All right. You go first. We'll take the driveway.
Hello.
Right here.
I find out.
Just a moment. Kegler.
Yes?
Walk up to the garage. Stand there with your back to us. And remember, you make a perfect target against that white background. So don't try anything. Well, what is it?
Mr. Britt, I look in the garage.
Well?
I look in the back. There's a big, heavy trunk. You were right, Mr. Britt.
I was. Fine, fine. That's all I want to know. Now, we'll leave a note for Bolton and Mannheim. And we'll see that Kegler gets back to his home. And keeps his mouth shut until tomorrow night.
Mannheim, wake up. Come on, snap out of it. Come on, wake up.
Where's my gun? Oh, it's you. Is he gone?
Yeah, him and Kegler both. I found this.
It's got the Hornet seal on it.
That's right.
I'll give you one more chance to talk money. Don't try anything till I call. She will be watched.
I guess he means business.
Yes. What about the garage?
We better do like he says, Mannheim. We just sit tight and wait.
Hello? Yes, this is Kegler. No, I'm sorry. I won't be to work today. Goodbye. I'm not feeling well at all.
City room, Ed Lowry talking.
What's that?
What?
Yeah, what about Kegler? Huh? Say, who is this? I said, who...
What is it, Lowry?
Some guy said if I wanted a story, I should go see Kegler again.
Again?
Yeah, tonight around midnight. And I don't even know who called.
Hello? Is that you, Bolton? I saw you last night, remember? That's right. Sure, stick around. I'll see you again.
Well, I'll say around 9 or 9:30. And no tricks this time.
I've been watching from the windows. I haven't seen a thing.
He'll be around. He said so.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I get the money for him, but
it's pretty tough.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I wish we'd taken care of that, you know, in the trunk in the garage.
And have the Hornet find out about that?
Maybe he already knows.
Maybe. I'll tell you one thing we gotta do.
You mean Kegler?
Yeah. He's scared silly. He's already talked to the Hornet. How much we don't know. But he might talk to the police if the pressure gets strong enough. We gotta take care of him.
Kill him, huh?
Yeah. We gotta do it soon. We can't go.
That's the back door. The Hornet?
Yeah. Who else? Keep your gun out of sight, man.
Don't worry. I don't take chances with that fella. Well, what are you waiting for? Open the door.
Look at the glass, Mannheim.
It's a shadow.
No. Looks as if he's leaning right against her.
You can't tell. It's that glass that you can't see through.
Yeah, there's something peculiar. Oh, well.
Look out! Bolton, it's the body from the trunk in the garage. Propped up against the door.
Well, who put it there? How did it...
I did, Bolton.
The Hornet.
You'll know about it.
I want to know a lot more. This man's dressed something like Kegler. He looks like Kegler. Who was he? What was his name?
Forget it, Hornet. This doesn't concern
you. I'm mixed up in something. I want to know all about it. Oh, come on, who was he?
He's Kegler.
Kegler? Oh, I get it. You mean the real Kegler?
Yeah.
Your friend who calls himself Ernest Kegler?
He's...
Never mind, I can figure it. He took this man's place, didn't he? Took over his home. This man was kept a prisoner in his own house, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's it.
And when that newspaper publisher told the police he found a dead man there, this was the man he saw.
Yeah. That was while we were out of the house getting a car. And when we got back, we slugged the man we found there.
And took the body out fast. What was the reason for all that, Bolton?
I wanted our man to get a job in a war plant. And by using this one's references, he got a good job.
Preparing for sabotage, eh?
Something like that.
But something went wrong, and you had to kill him.
A letter came with a code message. Somehow the real Kegler got hold of it. He got out of the house and was on his way to the police. He saw us trailing him and got scared. He dropped the letter.
We caught up with him a couple of blocks further on and took him back to the house.
So that's why the letter was important.
Yeah. Look, Hornet, there's two things we gotta do. We need that letter, and we gotta take care of this body.
It'll cost you money.
Here. There's plenty. Now, I'll give you...
I'll take it all. Thanks. But what about your partner?
Kegler.
Okay, we'll call him that for convenience. He's nervous. He might spill everything.
Certainly. We gotta get rid of him.
Shut up, Mannheim. I was working on that, Hornet. I haven't got any ideas, but...
I have an idea, Bolton. I might as well earn this money. It's a good idea. How about making it look like murder and suicide?
Murder?
Yes, with your friend as the murderer who commits suicide. I'll explain it later.
When?
When we get to Kegler's house, of course. Now, suppose you take this man over there in your car. Now, no tricks. I'll be driving right behind you.
Be close now, Mr. Britt.
Yes, they're turning the corner. Now, don't follow them. Turn here in the alley. They'll stop at the house, all right. Now, come on. We'll go into that house the back way and be very careful. Lowry ought to be prowling around nearby.
Lowry, isn't that Kegler's house?
Yeah, Casey. It's too early for me to make my call. It's...
Well, look. Look, there are two men going toward the front door. They're carrying another man.
Ah. Say, that guy's either had one drink too many or... Holy mackerel. Wait here, Casey.
Lowry, where are you going?
I'll be right back. Come on, look in a window. Casey.
What is it? What did you see?
Plenty, they're inside now. That man they were carrying was dead. He's on the living room floor. And the Hornet's there, too.
Good grief.
I'll keep watching. You get to a phone and get the cops here as fast as you can.
I don't understand why you brought him back here. I don't see why.
Okay, Kegler, I'll clear it up for you. Mannheim, give me your gun. Wipe the prints off first.
Mm-hmm. Here you are.
Thanks. Kegler, this is the gun Mannheim used to kill that man. The idea is to use this gun on you and then leave it in your hand.
Oh.
Yes. It'll appear that you murdered that man and now that you've committed suicide.
No, no, no. Don't let him.
Shut up, Kegler. That's the way we want it. It makes us safe, get it? Then the Hornet gives us that letter. We burn it. Hey, what's that?
Police cars, they're outside.
Police? Hornet, hurry up. Shoot him. Shoot him.
I will, Bolton, but not with your gun, with mine. Take it, Kegler.
No, no.
Hey, what good's that? It's just gas. He'll wake
up. Yes, Bolton, he'll wake up and talk to the police, and you'll go to jail.
Bolton, we've been fooled. Get him. Get him before
you're too late.
Shot. I can't breathe. I can't. Oh.
Hurry, Mr. Britt. Police.
Yes, Kato, out the back way. Remind me to send this money to the USO.
Break the door down.
All right. Come on. Come on.
Once more. Once more.
In here, this room.
Well, I'll be... Are they all dead?
No, just one of them. I saw the whole thing from the window, Sarge. And unless I'm nuts, you'll have a spy story that'll hit the headlines.
That's fine. But what happened to the Green Hornet?
You've just heard the adventure, The Corpse That Wasn't There. These exciting dramas are sent to you each week at this same time. They're copyrighted features of the Green Hornet Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used in this drama are purely fictitious. Bob Hite speaking. This program has come to you from the studios of WXYZ in Detroit. This is the Blue Network.
WXYZ out of Detroit. That's where these all originated. The Green Hornet, the Lone Ranger, and Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. They were all created and produced by the same two guys, Fran Stryker and who's the other guy? Fran Stryker and George Trendle. Those were the two guys. And this was The Corpse That Wasn't There, starring Al Hodge as Britt Reed, also known as the Green Hornet. Hope you enjoyed that for March 7th, 1943. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Anchorman. Remember that movie?
Of course I do.
He voiced that. He was the narrator of Anchorman.
That is Bill a great Curtis. Movie.
That's the man, Anchorman, and that's the man, Bill Curtis. And here's another man, David Playa. He just walked into the studio.
Hey, Dave.
And but before we talk with Dave, I want to tell everyone what's coming up, or maybe Lisa, you can. You want to tell everybody what's coming up?
I would be happy
tonight
to.
When we tonight, come back here.
Tonight we have the Whistler,
uh-huh.
The Jack Benny program, and
yeah.
The Big Story.
The Big Story. I don't think we've ever played a Big Story
just about
episode.
To say that.
What's a Big Story?
The Big Story was
what's
stories
a big story?
Of
yeah,
newspaper men. In action. Like, so, you know, these newspaper...
We do a big story.
Yeah.
On the Cochrane Show every morning.
Oh, okay, you know? Yeah. Big story. And so they would pay these... newspaper men would send in their stories, and if they dramatized it, they get $500.
Ooh.
And back then, that was... I mean, today even, $500 is a lot of money.
So that's
but
not the
behind-the-scene
concept. That's an actual... That's the actual
yeah.
show.
Oh, yeah, and then cool. they would dramatize the story. Huh. And it was sponsored by Pall Mall...
Oh,
cigarettes.
Yeah.
There was a lot of cigarettes.
Pall Mall.
There was a lot of cigarette sponsors back in the golden age of radio.
I think the candy cigarettes I have in my cigarette machine at home
have a rip-off.
Well, it's a rip-off version of the name or whatever it is. Pall but that's a big one. Yeah, of course.
And they say that those candies gave kids so many cavities because there was so much,
is that right?
So much powder and sugar on those candy gums.
Oh,
bad.
It's all sugar.
I don't
it's
think
just
it's any
stick.
Different than today.
No.
Right?
Oh,
I
no,
mean,
they're fabulous.
Pixie sticks and all sorts of
they call
of
them
good
candy
sugar.
Sticks, though, now. So that, you know.
Candy
you know,
sticks.
We're pretty
candy
sure
sticks.
What they are.
But they're, they're shaped in a box with cigarettes with a wrapping on it. With a seal. Yeah, exactly.
Well, before we say goodbye to our listeners for this this evening, although we'll be back tonight.
Yeah,
we'll
be
just a few we'll hours
we'll be
from
back.
Now.
I want to thank Elif Garris because, you know what, we don't thank Elif enough for all her hard work. She sticks around here. She does our podcast afterwards.
She does a
she
darn
kicks
good
butt.
Job.
She's running around. She's playing
she's still
the
here
commercials.
When I leave.
She's still smiling.
She's
so that's important.
She takes the phone calls. She's like an octopus in there. She's like Elif the octopus.
Wow.
Lots of tentacles.
Feel good about that? Is that okay?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think it was meant as a compliment. It was. I'm sure it's kind of going downhill here.
Yeah, it's meant with love.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And David Plyer's here. What's on the show, Dave?
There is a new reboot. And, you know, I get real skeptical, and I'm sure you do too, when you hear about a reboot of a television show.
Don't say The Honeymooners.
No, we talked about this one.
It's One Day at a Time.